Hello, everybody, and welcome to Honey Badger Radio. This is HBR debate number 8, entitled Sargon versus Angry Feminist Cult Member Sneaks in Several MRA Points. Not the feminist, but Sargon. So what is HBR debate? Because we haven't done these in a while. So I am here with Allison. You know, we usually do this one in front of the cameras, and we didn't talk about it, but usually that's how we do it. But Allison, why don't you explain what HBR debate is? This is going to be a lot of fun, guys, a lot of fun. But go ahead, Allison.
Okay, so HBR debate, we just do a play-by-play of a debate between an anti-feminist, a men's rights activist, somebody who doesn't necessarily or doesn't believe in the moral caste system that these individuals are constructing, wherein if you're on top of their moral caste system, you are a good person and everyone below you should be subjugated to your moral self-righteousness. So we look at debates between those two camps of people, and where we see something that could be better, we offer suggestions.
Yeah.
And positive criticism.
And there's something that it's mostly for you guys too. Like when you know, we're basically talking about this so that when you have conversations with people, you might like get something out of it, right? It's like giving you tools.
Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely for you guys to figure out which arguments work, how to improve your arguments, what kind of stances you should take while arguing.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff. So it's play by play. We're going to analyze this sport, the sport of arguing with feminists.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So I'll set up the stage a little bit. Sargon of Akkad, also known as Carl Benjamin, he's been going around and essentially, and I love that he's doing this because I've actually been wanting to do this myself. He's basically been going into public spaces in various parts of the country, sitting down with people and talking to them about, you know, about his beliefs and that, you know, he's a free speech advocate. He's a liberal, all this other stuff. Right. So he naturally gets a lot of blowback. He's had his share of milkshakes thrown at him. It started the whole trend, actually. He's argued with communists and anarchists and other kinds of SJWs. But this video, this one is, I think, of interest to us. So he's debating a feminist in Totnes. I'm not really sure of this place, but it is in Britain. So I'll play a little clip so you guys get the intros. You get an immediate sense of the general tone of this video that we're going to be looking at. So it kind of starts in the middle, but.
Why can't we talk?
Because I'm a stupid fucking feminist.
Well, I don't agree that you're stupid. I don't agree that you're stupid.
That's a quote from you.
But to Lacey Green, feminism. Right?
All right, I'm just pausing it there. So immediately she's hostile and Sargon just wants to talk to her, you know. He's willing to talk to anyone. So, and it's kind of, I'm just setting the stage there. So, Allison, did you want to say something now?
Oh, yeah, sure. We can do an analysis of just this factor.
Yeah.
Because it is fascinating because she comes right out of the gate, like haymakers everywhere. Like she's really trying to go for the knockout. And the reason why I say that, because right at the starting bell, well, I guess in the middle, because you said you moved it into the middle, she is setting herself up as a victim of him,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, if you're up on your threat narrative posturing, you know that this is setting yourself up to get the knockout, because what she wants to do is make everybody turn on him by playing the victim of his words. And of course, in order to do so, she has to make some rather ridiculous assumptions. One of which is that his insult directed to an entirely different person was directed at her. And I don't know if Sargon actually calls that out, but that requires a belief that she shares a hive mind with whichever feminist Sargon actually directed that insult to, which mm-hmm. I believe was Lacey Green.
Yes.
But, you know, be that as it may, you in the game of threat narrative posturing, everything is there is no dirty tactics. So assuming an identity with another person who is insulted just because you share one aspect of their label, that's fine. That's cricket. Go ahead and do that. So, but anyway, she is definitely trying to set herself up as the dominant party here. And she's just made a very strong grab for, let's say, the central territory in this particular altercation. She's going for the high ground, like high ground, folks. And you all know that's plus however many agility points. And she's setting that up by essentially going right out of the gate. I am your victim. Okay, let's see how Sargon responds to this very bold move.
Okay, I'm going to, I'll let him respond.
Do you want to, if you can hold it up around the top here, because the receiver bit is at the bottom.
It's funny because she sarcastically says, I don't want to talk to you because apparently I'm a stupid fucking feminist, and now he's showing her how to use the microphone. You're talking to this end over here, but no, I don't think that was on purpose.
The receiver bits at the bottom.
No, I don't think it was on purpose. Although technically in a threat narrative situation, you don't really want to necessarily show their weakness. You want to show their threateningness. Let's see where he goes with this. This is just a technical difficulty, which we are all are fond and familiar with here at Honey Badger Radio.
Okay, let us continue.
One, two.
Yeah. Why are you a feminist, just out of interest?
Because I don't think that men have the right to own women.
Yeah, but they don't own women. In what way don't women have self-determination?
I believe in equality between the sexes.
Are they?
Can we stop at any point?
Yeah, like, no, yeah, we can stop, sure.
All right, okay, this is the thing. Because what I'm seeing here is this... a clash of styles, shall we say. Her battlefield is the battlefield of the lynch mob, is the battlefield of, shall we say, genocide, inciting genocide. It's the battlefield of causing violence to happen on a person. Sargon's battlefield is the battlefield of logic, democracy, reason, presumably the institutions of learning. So he's going to use logic. She's angling to create the biggest threat narrative she can. Of course, right out of the gate, she starts with, you insulted me, therefore I'm a victim of you. Now she's going with, women are victims of men because men want to own them. And I'm starting to get the sense that this is going to be her overall tactic. It's just repeating the idea that she is, or women in general, are victims of men. And that's really, to win the battle she's fighting, all she needs to do is show her opponent as a threat. And she's not getting very specific with Sargon here, but it's still a useful tactic overall. I mean, after all, look at how much feminists have managed to control using this kind of subjugation and dominance of other people by emphasizing how dangerous they are. I mean, they basically have, they've created a very strong political narrative around the Republican Party with their war on women. They are able to basically go into any subculture they want, establish it as their territory and control it. So, I mean, it's a powerful narrative, and she's definitely winning that dominance battle in the threat narrative dimension, as it were. Of course, the thing with that is you have to believe it. For her to really declare victory, she has to get him to believe it. At least over him. She can declare victory over anyone in that crowd. Anyone at any point can say, yeah, she's right. Sargon, as a representative of all men, is responsible for the fact that at some unspecified point in vague history, men owned women, which I've yet to know the exact civilization where that occurred, but whatever. At some vague, in indistinct histories, this happened. There may be some people in the crowd that say, yeah, she's right. And as a representative of men, he's responsible for those things that she says men are responsible for. So that she might win in their mind, but she won't necessarily win in his mind unless he concedes the idea that she is a victim of him, or that women are a victim of men. So let's continue. But I think that that's probably the strategy she's going to take. And the strategy he's going to take is to, of course, completely deconstruct all of the strange and elaborate tactical methods she uses to establish dominance by presenting him as the aggressor and the threat. So continue. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Believe that the patriarchy is extremely detrimental to both men and women.
How do you prove patriarchy?
And I think that...
She's just stumped.
Yeah, I know, but I actually love that little twist that, that feminists use lately, that the patriarchy is also detrimental to men. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they're appropriating men's own vulnerability in order to use it against them to establish men as even men are so evil they even subjugate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You see, this is why I don't want to debate you, because every word I say, you've got a little
everything you're saying is very loaded.
You're training against me. I can't afford fucking debate lessons. Like
I haven't
you've
had debate lessons.
Okay, well, look at this. Look at this victimhood posturing. Yep. I'm weak. I'm incapable. I'm a lower socioeconomic status. Not like you can't get on frickin' YouTube and look up debating material.
Yeah.
You know,
I know I know I'm right, and yet I don't want to debate you because you've had a lot of practice and, you know, you're better at it. And I think it's like picking on me and, you know, that kind of thing.
But see how she just reframes everything once again. I mean, he's offered a very good counterpoint and a really logical and reasonable counterpoint. How do you mm-hmm. prove patriarchy? Have you ever proven patriarchy? You know what she immediately counters with? I'm a victim of you.
Yeah.
I'm incapable. I'm weak. I'm not capable of attaining that particular standard of whatever. Do you see how that works? Every time he says something, it's like her mind is keyed like to ferret out the victimhood and then assume that posture. And it's fascinating to watch, especially since she's like, what, got 3 inches on him and possibly 50 pounds?
I don't know. They look like they're probably about the same. She's wearing like, you know, a lot of clothing. Surprisingly like covered up. Actually, not really so much, but... okay, so
it can
anyway.
It's pretty cold in the UK.
Well, Sargon's there in a t-shirt. I think that what I've noticed, honestly, and this is not meant to, I'm not making an argument, I'm just making an observation. What I've seen is that feminists who tend to argue in public, they actually tend to dress pretty conservatively. They wear long dresses and, you know, tights, and they, like, I've noticed that. Except for, like, the sex positive slut walk ones, but I'm talking about, like, the kinds that Sargon's had to deal with, they're mostly dressed head to toe. So.
Well, it suits. I mean, it suits their mentality. They look in every situation, they look for how they're the doormat being walked on. And then they mm-hmm. use that to try to posture and establish themselves as morally dominant because the other person is obviously victimizing them. But, you know, I mean, can you imagine being in that kind of mentality? Like everything, you know, you face something difficult and the first thing you do is flop on the floor and be like, I can't handle this because I can't possibly look up debating tactics anywhere. I can't get a book out of a library on debating. I'm just incapable because insert self-inflicted reason.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said that, I want to ask you guys that are watching, is the volume level for this video okay? Because I have it blasted all the way up, but I'm not trying to like...
it's low for me too.
Is it low for you? Why is it low for you guys? I just need to check something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, then I...
Let me just play another clip and I'll just look and I'll observe what the, you know, the equalizer over here and see. So it's a little low, they said. I think the video itself is a little low. This is from Sargon's channel, though. All right.
Or at least a lot of practice.
I just teach. Can you let her speak? Yes, but she's making very loaded statements. Speak? Yes, excuse me, come on.
I'm making loaded statements.
Yes, you are.
Okay,
yes, I can. Excuse me. Come on now, that's rude.
I like this too. Okay, so it is a little low, but I think that's the nature of the video itself. I apologize, because sometimes they're not talking right directly into the microphone, And so it's kind of like, you know, I guess it's not the greatest microphone. I don't know. But or it could be like just the way that they're using it. So I don't think I can do anything about that without making Allison super loud. And I don't know if you guys want that. So,
well, but I can always reduce my distance or increase my distance from my mic, and that might fix it.
Or I can raise it up a bit.
Okay. But it is interesting. She comes over and she says repeatedly, "Let her speak." And I think Sargon said like four words. And this woman, in response to those four words, has spouted off a whole bunch of stuff. So it's not like she can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
She's been speaking quite a lot. But again, this woman who I guess is giving an assist to this other woman, she's attempting to make that woman look like a victim of Sargon. Like Sargon is the one silencing her when it's obviously not the case. We've just watched this whole exchange. And again, Sargon said, what, four words? And then the woman started immediately victim posturing in order to gain the high ground. And then, like I said, I guess this old woman comes in from the wing to give her the assist,
mm-hmm.
to help construct that victim narrative. So how does Sargon respond to this?
Well, first he called her rude. He said, please don't be rude, because the old woman here, she didn't just interject with words, but she actually grabbed Sargon's microphone. She actually physically touched him in a manner to, like, I guess, to silence him or whatever.
Him.
Yeah, to control him, basically. And he said, excuse me, I'm sorry. No, don't do that. That's rude. And I got to say that I'm glad he's calling her out on that, because again, mm-hmm. those little things tell you, I'm not going to treat you the way that you might be accustomed to being treated. I will hold you responsible. You know, I will hold you accountable for your actions, and I'm going to call you on it. And I think it's a little thing, but everyone is watching and they see that, you know, and she was being rude objectively. So they'll play the rest of this bit.
Yes, but you're being very rude and I don't appreciate that.
That's great. I love it. Okay, so let's play a little bit more.
I'm not attacking anyone. I'm calling you rude because you're being rude. Sorry, carry on.
Okay, so this is from a video.
Sure. I stand by it.
Okay.
Excuse me. We're not talking to you at the moment. I'm sorry. We can talk afterwards if you'd like.
You have argued that feminism was responsible for the rise in the numbers of men carrying out mass murders.
Yes.
Because the killers felt disenfranchised and out of options. So your point being, it's feminism's fault, it's women's fault that men are murdering them. Okay,
well, no, hang on a second,
point.
hang on a second. Right, let's discuss.
I'm just pausing. I don't think we have to worry about the banana because this is a Sargon video. But just in the interest of, you know.
And also, yeah, there is stuff to point out.
Yeah.
The statement, you notice how she switched between feminism,
yes,
and women.
Yes.
And I think Sargon's going to hone in on that. I think he's going to do the counter, and that's really good. Also, I would agree that the calling the older woman out on being rude, excellent move. It,
mm-hmm.
it definitely helps to neutralize the threat narrative that she's trying to, the establishing herself and the woman speaking as victims of Sargon. It helps to neutralize that.
Yeah.
And point out that, in fact, Sargon is being impinged upon by them. So if anyone is in a situation of being, I wouldn't say violated, but what does rudeness mean? I guess it's a social violation, not a severe social violation.
Yeah,
if anyone's being socially violated here, it's Sargon, not these incredibly... At the same time as they're posturing about being weak, they're also very aggressive. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
It's a good move. It's a good move on their part.
Yeah, and for him to call him rude is basically, it flips the script. It's sort of like when Jordan Peterson said,
Do you have to consider how I'm experiencing this interview with Kathy Newman, right?
Yeah, exactly. When he said it's quite uncomfortable, and it put her on the back foot, because, you know, when you're playing this victim narrative game, you can't simultaneously come across as the aggressor. And especially if the other person says, hey, you know, what you're doing is hurtful, and I'm, well, you know, it's bothering me. This is not okay.
Yeah.
right?
A lot of, yeah, no, definitely. And also a lot of men sort of don't use this technique, but it is quite powerful because you're making women who are, these two women are usually accustomed to men who simply submit to them. And then you're making them contend with the fact that they have to respect how they are affecting you. So when Sargon mm-hmm. says, stop this, you're being rude, he's demanding that that older woman respect his personal boundaries and respect his experience of her behavior. And if his experience of her behavior is negative, that's her responsibility, not his. A lot of women, and in particular feminist women, have never really had an experience of a man saying, my experience of you, of your behavior, is your responsibility to a certain degree. I mean, social situations are sort of a give and take. So when somebody's rude, that's on them. And mm-hmm. they should back down, especially when they're rude and getting in people's face and touching their property. I mean, that's a pretty stark line there. That isn't just making a joke that Sargon finds offensive, if there is such a joke. It is actively trying to control him physically mm-hmm. and control his property. So, you know, and to say that, you know, this is unacceptable behavior, like a lot of women don't hear that from men. Nope. A lot of women never hear, this is unacceptable behavior, stop exactly. it, from men.
That's exactly right. Okay, I got a super chat from Exploding Prinny at Work for $2. Says the other lady is her victimization stand, dude. Yeah, indeed. Okay, so let us continue. I'm just going to check and see if I'm still looking. Yes, this is kind of a longer clip, but let's go ahead.
This is important, right?
Okay, reading the quotes that you made first.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Can we not talk about one at a time? Because I get the feeling it's different subjects.
It's very
is it
much the same subject.
Excuse me.
This is what feminism has wrought.
Yeah.
A generation of men who do not know what to do,
yeah.
who are being demonized for what they are, says Benjamin.
Can we applaud that? Because I think that's correct. Yeah, see, we've got ladies in the crowd here who absolutely agree. Feminism is a way of oppressing men by women who are angry at men.
I would argue that it's patriarchy is oppressing both men and women.
But you can't prove that exists.
I'm glad. I think I might have been the first person to just say full out that patriarchy has never been proven. It's completely unscientific. I think it was like Twitter years and years ago. It's nice to see that it's getting picked up because it's true.
I think the closest thing to real patriarchy is actually feminism.
Yeah, feminists have never had to prove their conjecture that we live in a society that unfairly benefits men over women. They never have. They never even have considered the fact that in order to have any kind of scientific validity as an observation of reality, you have had to subjugate patriarchy falsehood to proving the negative. So you would have had to have some kind of experiment in which you assume or where you attempted to prove that your theory didn't exist or your conjecture didn't exist. And I've never had a feminist actually point me to proper study that attempted to disprove patriarchy. Is feminist, you need to have attempted to disprove patriarchy to even be one step closer to declaring that it reflects reality. And until you find me a study in which feminists have rigorously tried to disprove patriarchy. They've looked at all of the available evidence that patriarchy doesn't exist, that we do not exist in a society that unfairly benefits men over women, a society in which we prefer to see a woman take a bullet versus a man, a woman to starve versus a man, a woman to be denied her children versus a man, a woman to receive longer sentences versus a man, a woman who is a victim is subject to contempt and we care more about male victims. Unless you can show me that you have attempted to disprove patriarchy theory, it has never been subject to any kind of scientific rigor. Therefore, it is not something that could be said to reflect reality. And also, there is significant evidence that patriarchy is absolutely false. Not the least of which is that every time feminists attempt to predict something based on their frankly, bizarre theory, it never pans out for them. And usually you can predict the opposite. So if you take patriarchy theory and you say, well, patriarchy theory would predict X, it's usually Y that happens. The exact opposite. So he's, and like I said, it's great to see that. It's great to see someone cutting at the root of the issue.
Yeah.
Just right at the root.
Yep.
Prove
and
it.
I mean, like people on, you know, all over the spectrum don't question this fundamental, central core principle of feminism is the existence of patriarchy. There are lots of, like, you know, supposedly, I mean, I'm sure they are, but like very prominent figures with large platforms that are highly, you know, praised for their intellectual ability, but they don't question this. They just question things like if it's gone too far, or, you know, like if the definition of patriarchy is the wrong one that they're working with, or if it's somehow gotten distorted over time. Yeah, or it's existed somewhere else, or it existed in the past. And this is like his questioning of it, period, and putting them on the spot and saying, can you prove it? Or are you just regurgitating talking points that you were fed, essentially? Which is why that girl uncomfortably chuckles, because at the end of the day, this young woman is just another drone. She's just repeating the same talking point. She's likely not written a book on this. You know, she's just a girl that thinks that she's a feminist and she thinks she knows what that means and why it's necessary.
She is somebody, and this maybe this will give people some sympathy for her. She's somebody who's been taught a particular way of navigating the world. And that way of navigating the world is to basically, you know how soccer players, sometimes in the World Cup, they'll do a throw. They'll just be like, oh my, and they'll grab their knee and they'll make a big show because they want to get the penalty. This is her entire life strategy. So whenever she encounters something different, she throws.
Yeah.
She just throws it.
Yeah.
And this is the coping mechanism that she's been taught as a woman. And for whatever reason, she's never developed another one. And now she's encountering a world where it doesn't necessarily work. If you just do a throw, sometimes people don't stop. Or it doesn't give you the dominance that you want, that you are become the center of attention, the center of morality, and you then become the driving force of the community. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she's never been taught anything else. And she's never sought, maybe she's never even sought anything else or thought that there is anything more to human existence than encountering something and playing the victim, which is why it's exactly what she does.
Yep.
You know, encountering any difficulty and then immediately playing the victim. Encountering a man who doesn't immediately submit to your worldview, and the first thing you do is play the victim instead of actually encountering it with curiosity or with an interest in learning something new. But it's a really closed off. It's a really closed off way of being.
Yep.
It's ultimately very small.
All right. Here's another clip. This is going to be about 29 seconds. So
some figures lined up in my pocket. Oh. I was not intending to speak, but I just can't. Yeah. Okay, so
well, can I talk about
you
the...
are responsible.
Wait, could you go back a bit? Could you go back a bit? Just a little bit, like maybe 10 seconds? Because I want to point something out that I think is unintentional on her part, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Rape
historically doesn't happen very often. Okay, wow.
Well, okay.
I don't have facts in civilized areas.
They're talking about marital rape when she says, he says, you know, she says that marital rape was only recently made illegal. And
yeah, it was also only recently made illegal from wives raping their husbands. I think that's still legal. Okay, continue.
Okay.
In my pocket.
I'm sorry?
I don't have facts and figures lined up in my pocket. Oh. I was not intending to speak, but I just can't. Yeah. Okay, so...
Well, can I talk about...
You
the...
are responsible for...
Yeah, that's your entire life story, lady. I just can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm here debating you, and I have the mean things you said on my phone, but I don't have any data. I shouldn't have to, because you said mean things about women on this, on my phone.
Yeah, mic drop, the end of the argument.
Basically, I think she
made
came,
women victims. Yeah, that's
she,
it.
I think she went into this saying, I'm going to make him apologize for the things he said. And
oh, yeah, that's
he's
that's
not
the
going
win
to.
Condition.
That's it. That's the win condition, is I'm sorry. So
yeah, subjugating to himself to them morally. Mm-hmm. And the way that she's doing this, like I said, her life story probably amounts to two words. I can't, because she's used to playing the victim. And in response, she gets to experience people's moral subjugation to her. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, when she plays the victim, that means somebody is the aggressor. And in this duality we're seeing here, obviously, Sargon is the aggressor. All right.
All right.
Perpetuating it here being the mass murder of women, yeah, by disenfranchising these poor fucking guys who don't, yeah, have any options left.
Don't you feel that you have a responsibility then?
I have a responsibility to sleep with men that desire me so they don't feel angry.
I didn't say that.
That's kind of what
maybe not hate men for
imply.
A start. Maybe not hating men
I
as
really
a start.
I really don't hate men.
Yeah, but you seem to.
I hate.
I really don't hate men. She's actually like. She got defensive there. And
oh,
it's because,
sure,
because women often don't want to be seen as mean or hateful. Or because it's disagreeable and they want to be agreeable. It's often why they express their violence through these convoluted, I'm a victim of you, kind of attitudes. And she wants to be able to say all of these negative and awful things about men, but not be seen as hateful. Okay. All right. Let's continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hate men that feel they have a right to influence my space and tell me what I should be.
But who's that?
Okay.
It's half.
What?
She's just saying that she doesn't hate men. She only hates the men that want to control her.
Or you mean the men who want to influence your space? You mean that have any impact on your life at all?
Yeah, that's essentially, she hates the men that don't bend the knee and apologize, I think is what it is. Because there's really no men that are trying to control her. It's like the, men trying to control women's bodies argument. There are no men trying to control women's bodies. There are men that have opinions on... the subject, which happens to involve a woman's body, but that's not the same. But it's interesting because, if you think that someone who has an opinion on something that can affect you, but essentially by making you responsible or accountable in some way, if you think that that's the equivalent of controlling you, and yet your ideology supposedly doesn't want to control anyone, it's actually quite revealing, because obviously feminism does want to control people. It wants to control men and women. It wants to keep them in a certain position. That's why anyone who opposes it, they project and they say, oh, you're trying to control us. No, we're trying to liberate ourselves from you. All right, Allison, you were going to say something?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, what this needs to be seriously qualified. So she hates all men who impinge upon her. Mm-hmm. Well, every human, like human society, is sort of a compromise. Like, we can't all get what we want every moment of the day. It's a compromise between all of us. That means, yeah, in some way, everybody impinges on everyone else. So that needs a bit more qualification. And the thing is that she is once again playing the victim. And I think I lost track of that when I was trying to discuss what she's saying. She's playing notice she's playing the victim again.
Oh, yeah. That's her whole thing.
Oh, I want this very, very small little concession from men. Very small.
I just want them to stop raping and killing us.
I just want them not to impinge upon me. And she's once again playing the victim of men. Like, mm-hmm, I said, her entire life strategy can be summed up as I can't, and then throwing herself on the soccer field, clutching her knee so that she can get a penalty shot on the opposition.
Like Peter Griffin. All right, let's continue.
Sorry.
I jumped ahead a bit.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That is like... Yeah, it's worse. I'm not arguing that this is worse.
I'm glad we can agree.
I'm saying this is like...
So how is it that women in this country don't have self-determination? I'm really curious about that. I think they do. I think like the ladies around are just like, what are you talking about? I do what I want. And that's as it should be. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wish my wife had stopped telling me what to bloody do. You know what I mean? I'm looking for self-determination for me, married men. I'm just kidding. Come on.
Okay, she's not laughing at all. But he's just making the case that, you know, how do you... Well, obviously you heard that. So he puts her on the spot, essentially saying, as a woman in, you know, a first world country who is absolutely free, and here's a bunch of other women that also feel the same, how can you sit here and tell us that you don't have any self-determination?
I would say he's taking the wind from the sails of her particular I'm a victim narrative here, but let's see how she rejoins.
Okay.
Because it's a good tactic on his part.
Okay.
I wouldn't have actually stepped back from the men, you know, independence for married men, because it is actually true that men tend to be very dominated in their relationships.
That's true.
And they tend to be quite afraid of their partner's anger to the point where they constantly monitor for it and adjust their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a thing that happens in a lot of heterosexual relationships for men, is that they feel subjugated. But he pulled that back because, again, probably because he is worried about, I won't speak for him, but it comes across like he's just concerned about the backlash, but.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue.
Okay, let's continue. Well, he probably doesn't really mean that because, you know, he was joking about his wife, but.
Oh, yeah, I see what
your stupid fucking feminist cultists need to be asking is, why are these men. This is a quote from him.
Yeah, it's fine. Carry on.
The question you and all of your stupid fucking feminist cultists need to be asking is, why are these men becoming misogynists in the first place?
Yes.
What is this feminist-run society? Feminist-run society.
We have feminists in our government.
That is causing them to go insane.
We have feminists in our government. Do you not realize this? Are there any MRAs in our government?
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ah. But I wouldn't, the thing is that, and I've been thinking about this quite a bit, I do not think that men's rights activists are the opposite of feminists. And the reason why I don't think that is because we're not proposing to make society, define the moral good of society by how well it benefits men to the exclusion of women. And defining it, I mean, personally, I don't really like the oppression narrative at all. I think it complicates what ultimately is a dynamic between men and women. And we are very much psychologically dependent on each other to the point where I don't think oppression really makes sense in that context. But, you know, I'm not proposing a world in which society be defined by its benefit to men.
No.
Maybe just including that. You know,
well,
and,
yeah,
and consider it.
What we want is, I think, a balance in compassion as well as responsibility and accountability for both genders, right? And we want it to be reflected in our laws, but also in our culture. And right now, you know, we give men all the responsibility, none of the compassion, and we give women all the compassion and none of the responsibility. And so, this is like basically how we structured thing. And it's gotten so, like, it's a lot worse now than it was, but it's always been, to some degree, it's been like that, right? And so now we're getting to the point where you have women that live their whole lives basically as children because they never are being held accountable to the same degree. They don't have to be responsible. We have all these things in place to save them and protect them, and they never grow as a result. They don't know what ownership is. They don't know what self-ownership is specifically. They don't know what the benefits of, you know, honor and loyalty and so on are, because none of those are necessary, because those all require responsibility. And so they don't get that. But on the other end of it, though, you know, men are forced to do those things, but we don't honor them for it at all. We don't give them any compassion. We let the, you know, the ones that fall by the wayside because they can't keep up, they just die in the gutter, and we ignore them. And so we're trying to bridge that gap. You know, it's not just, they say, you know, obviously there's the empathy gap, but there's also an accountability gap on the part of women. And I think that both of those things are valuable.
Yeah, and we see the result here. this individual is actually probably quite limited by the fact that in every instance she goes for I can't rather than I can. I mean, there's a cost to that kind of a belief about yourself. And that cost is to limit yourself. So you have to be willing to sacrifice all of what you could do if you said I can instead of I can't. And you have to be willing to sacrifice that because you think that constantly saying I can't and throwing yourself to the soccer field and grabbing your knee and screaming out in pain will get you so much more than simply, you know, playing the game and seeing where that takes you. And I can see why she would be threatened by what Sargon is doing here, because he is limiting what she gets every time she throws herself to the soccer field and grabs her knee and screams. She's limiting. He's not only questioning and saying, pointing to her and saying, is this real? He didn't even touch you. He just brushed by you. He's doing that. And he's also potentially going to limit the penalty, like whatever penalty gets awarded to her for having done that. And if you only see your worth in throwing yourself down, doing the throw and getting the penalty when you play the victim, getting the penalty on another person when you play the victim, if that's the only worth that you see you have, I can see anybody threatening that as being, you would consider them very threatening.
Yep.
My God, she's got a conservative hairstyle.
I know, right? Look at her.
I think my grandmother wore that in the 70s.
It does look like something out of time. It does.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play. It could be a British thing, though. Maybe that's in over there. I don't know. All right, let's play a little bit more of this clip. I'm going to jump to the next one because he does name drop here.
I can name you a slew of feminists who are a sisterhood, according to Jess Phillips, a feminist in our government. Maybe Philip Davies, is he an MRA? He probably is. He's one guy compared to dozens of feminists.
And even then, Philip Davies wouldn't call himself an MRA, which is perfectly fine because he's doing MRA stuff anyways, but...
you don't have to call yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Up to the professionals.
Aside from the fact that, you know, it's like the normies aren't ready for that conversation to actually like that there even exists such a group. So, you know, for Philip Davies' sake, I'm okay with him not calling himself that, but I don't care because the stuff that he's doing, he's the only person in any parliament that I know of or any Congress that's actually talking about the issues facing men and boys. And I think that is tremendous. It's tremendous. The best. And like, you know, I'll take it. The closest thing to that is basically what Betsy DeVos and Trump are doing regarding like the Dear Colleague letter and Title IX. But I mean, Philip Davies is, you know, he's doing great work. So Sargon wants to mention him that way. That's cool. But yeah, technically, he wouldn't call himself an MRA. So, okay. Let us jump ahead to the next bit here. I'm going to jump because she like plays victim a little bit more, but there's no need for that. We're just going to go here.
I'm just curious, because like, we're not getting many super chats. Are you guys appreciating this content at all?
106 people are watching. Yeah, we only got one super chat. That's like hurting my feelings. Are you guys not like this video?
Yeah.
Should I just end it?
Little crushed. Yeah.
But it could be just because it's a Wednesday and, you know, people haven't gotten paid yet. Like on Friday, this would be better. Maybe we can do, you know, we'll do Batwoman on Friday and I'll do it myself. I don't care. Or bring somebody on. We'll do the Batwoman trailer. But anyway,
I have to admit, though, I like the super chats because it's good to know that people care about what we're doing and I care enough to throw a few, like give us a tip.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's continue.
That's okay. I mean, they're participating in the conversation. They're definitely like watching the show. So I'll give you the credit for that. They're engaged in the discussion. Okay, so let's move on to the next bit. Oh, we just got a super chat from Zeranks. See, Allison, your ploy worked. Regarding the empathy gap, I think this was partly covered in the past, but I think there might be another approach, such as encouraging women and girls and those wanting families to consider future spouses. Or spouses. You see, we say spouses, not spouses.
Spices?
I think that's might be another wrong. Approach, such as encouraging women and girls and those wanting families to consider future spouses. When you say that, do you mean like consider who they select to, you know, to marry and start a family with, and to be considerate of that? Because I think that requires some responsibility, sure. But I think that, you know, that empathy gap thing I was talking about, and I know this is not, I'm going to try and make this quick because it's not really relevant to like the goal of this video. But now that I think about it, because we don't hold women to be responsible, we don't consider them to have accountability for their actions. And this is like feminism does this like times 100. Imagine all of the stuff that they talk about is like their big, one of their biggest narratives is revolves around victim blaming. And the idea is that, you know, what it sounds like is pretty appealing on its surface, that we shouldn't be blaming the victim for whatever it is they're victimized by. However, one of the things that we do as a side effect of that is we tell women that nothing they do, no matter what the consequences are, nothing they do is their fault. So that means that they're just, whatever happens to them is just stuff that happens to them. That they, and they can't do anything to affect it, and they shouldn't. And instead, we should ask men to change everything about themselves in order to make women's lives comfortable. And in such a degree that women can make whatever mistakes they want through life, no matter what their choices are, and it always should work out for them. And if it doesn't, then it must be because men did something to them. And so we'll like the victim blaming thing is an example. But one of the other things I was thinking about that could be a side effect of that is when a woman chooses to marry or reproduce with a man that is not good for her, or that isn't. When I say good for her, I don't mean in such a way like good enough. What I mean is, if you're going to lay down with someone and make children with somebody, you want to make sure that that person is going to be, you know, in a position to be a good father to those children and so on. And that you're not just like, you know, getting pregnant with someone who's not going to stick around or whatever, right? That just sees you as a side piece or whatever it is. But I think that one of the reasons why we have this problem with single motherhood and, you know, this all of the abortion issue, abortion as birth control, etc., is because women are not, they're not properly vetting the men that they, you know, sleep with. And I think that there is, you know, something to that. Again, we're talking about responsibility, the responsibility that a woman should recognize that her body produces life, and that comes with tremendous responsibility. And this is one of the issues I have with the abortion debate as it exists, because feminists will say that women should not even be responsible or accountable to any degree for the one thing that they do is probably one of the most important, if not the most important part of being human. Not that they can do it by themselves, but you see what I'm saying? Well, we hold men accountable though. For when they have children, we make them pay child support and all that, you know, no matter what the cost is to them. But we don't do it to women. So just another way in which that kicks in. Just saying.
So. Yeah. Well, and definitely one of the issues here is because women never get the true consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
They don't really develop a sense of themselves as effective agents in the greater world. And they don't develop a connection between where they are and what they've chosen to do with their lives. But the thing is that there's nobody in the world with a greater amount of control over a woman's life than a woman. And if she's incapable of making the connection between her choices and where she's ended up in her life, then she's basically walking into hell, because mm-hmm. she will have no ability to stop herself, because she doesn't understand that the way that she's pointed, she is the one making the choices that are leading her to the place that she is, the end. And if she can't grapple with that, she'll never be able to make better choices that lead her away from these negative outcomes. Now, not all women necessarily, you know, completely internalize this, but certainly the women who, like this woman, seem to live by the word "I can't," mm-hmm. and think and see their power in the world playing the victim of their circumstances and the people around them. I think that she is definitely going to be the type of woman who will not be able to connect the consequences of her choices to her choices and realize that her life is exactly the way that she's constructed it.
Yeah.
Exactly the way. And nobody else has any more power over it than she does. Because she says, she even says it right there. I know that she's that kind of woman, because what did she say? Women don't have autonomy. Of course you have autonomy. But she can't see it.
Yep.
Because she cannot connect the choices that she's made to the outcomes that she's received. She only ever sees the outcomes she's received as something external to herself.
Yep, exactly.
Very small. That's a very small horizon there.
So we got a couple more super chats. Exploding Pretty at Work gives us $5 and says, why does Queen Liz keep reinforcing this British patriarchy? Shake my head, dude. Yeah, I know. Why? It must not be her. It must be like whatever man is around. Elizabeth is just, she's just another victim. Altair Mawat gives us $2 in New Zealand dollars, or two New Zealand dollars, I guess. Two Kiwis. Says it's Thursday. Thursdays can get bent. Oh yeah, you're in the future. How? Like, can you give me the lottery numbers, Altair? Because I'd like to know the lottery numbers. Actually, you're in the future. That's not going to help me. Okay. Well, anyway, let us continue. Next clip.
Really?
Yes. By your supporters.
And that, would you say that?
Am I not allowed to feel unsafe?
I don't have supporters. I'm just.
Well, that was a good one. I got to go back a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
This is a good one. This is a good one. I want to go back. I want to go back.
That was a little taste. I got to get more.
Yeah.
A stupid fucking cultist feminist.
But you don't seem to be able to prove patriarchy. Cultists. Yeah, but you seem to
be. I can't prove patriarchy. I can't, like,
well, it seems
drag
like a religion.
It out of thin air. Can I go, look, here's the patriarchy. I can say that as a woman, I have felt unsafe. I have felt oppressed.
As a man, I feel femininity. Unsafe. For my masculinity.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, so he...
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, it is
good.
Of
course men feel unsafe sometimes.
Can you believe, like, the chauvinist response? Oh, there's an echo. I don't know if other people are hearing it, but I'm definitely hearing it.
I don't know why you
would
be hearing
an echo. This idea that he even has his own experience of the world, that he even has the right to feel unsafe. She comes from a presumption that men are automatically more courageous and more risk tolerant. Like, this is what really astounds me. Like, there was a feminist on the Honey Badger Brigade page that I have on Facebook, and I'm reading what she has to write, and it was just it's sort of the same situation. Like, this woman is talking to Sargon, is absolutely astounded that he would say that he could feel unsafe as a man. Because, of course, men are always strong and they're always in a position where they can handle the world around them, right? Not like women. Women are always in a position where they're saying, I can't, as she has demonstrated. Okay, so... let me see. Okay, so this is Karen Louise Bird, who reviewed Honey Badger Radio. And it's not actually her review. You can see it at Honey Badger Brigade, my page on Facebook. It is one of the comments that she makes. Karen Louise Bird says, apart from my son's father. Okay, that was in reference to another thing, so it's not relevant to this. You all think that you're anti-feminist and helping men. What you're all actually doing is saying to weak, ineffectual incels, don't worry, guys, we'll sort this all out for you. And they're letting you. It's like a huge cosmic joke, and you're all too dense to realize that you're telling these men that they need women to fight their corner. And this is my response to her, and it was months after she said this. What's wrong with being a hero for men? Or if a hero means servant, by the way. If you're going to appeal to the idea that men should always be stronger than women and never need a woman to advocate for them, maybe you should deal with your own sense of inferiority rather than project it onto us being female men's rights activists. I'm like, I don't think a man should necessarily be insulted if he has to hand the freaking football over to a woman to go get something done that he can't. I don't think Sargon should feel insulted if he does feel unsafe, because she's using her social power as a woman, her social power to be believed whenever she throws and grabs her knee and squeals. I don't think that Sargon is any less of a man for pointing that out and saying, hey, you're using your social power as a woman in this manner, and it's making me feel unsafe, and that is unacceptable. Stop it. I don't think he's less of a man. Okay, go ahead.
I agree. Ben. All right.
The echoing is back.
Are you getting the echo? I don't know why that is. You want to try leaving and coming back in? Because it's not on my end.
Yes, I will.
All right. I'm just going to wait until she gets back. So I'll read your super chats in the meantime.
I have done so.
Okay. Is there still an echo?
No, it's good. And maybe it was cool. On my end.
Yeah,
it was always my problem.
Yep.
Oh, wait. The echo's back. Shit. Well, at least it's a little less. Okay.
All right. So French Honey Badger just gave us $5 and says, here's $5 covered in nose blood and snot. You know what? It's we'll take it. I'm sure it's fine. All right. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So next clip.
By your supporters.
And that, would you say that...
Am I not allowed to feel unsafe?
I don't have supporters, I'm just a normal person.
No, you're a feminist. You're definitely not a normal person.
People on a similar angle to me, maybe.
But am I not allowed to feel this way? Is that not valid?
Are you not allowed to feel oppressed? I would argue that you're being oppressed by the patriarchy. You're being oppressed by the...
Oh, God, the thing that you can't prove exists! Oh, for fuck's sake! Jesus Christ! I'm sorry, it's overwhelming me.
I know.
The patriarchy is your inability to take responsibility for your life, lady. It literally emanates from you. You think it's everywhere because you're emanating the stink of it. Because it's you. You are creating it by your inability. Okay, you walk into a fucking door. You choose to walk into the door and you say, oh my God, that darn patriarchy. It's like, no, you've just chosen that. Just because it's an outcome you didn't want doesn't mean some nefarious goddamn force that can't be proven did it to you. You know, see how it happened that you walked into the door of life, lady, and you bounced off. Maybe look through your choices in the past and say to yourself, hey, maybe I shouldn't have, I don't know, started fantasizing about what is that guy in 50 Shades of Grey before I attempted to leave my house, and thus I was completely unaware when I walked into my door. Thus it is my fault. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, her inability to take responsibility, her inability to say this is the result of my choice, she projects it onto patriarchy.
Yep.
And it's like you're like watching this and you're like, your inability to say I can, as a woman, you are projecting that onto patriarch. You are projecting it onto this mysterious force that you think exists. Your belief, you're constantly saying, I can't, leads you to believe you have no control over your life, leads you to believe you have no autonomy, which you then blame on patriarchy, which you cannot prove exists. Because nobody has held you as a woman to a standard of reason and ethical behavior. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. And once again, this makes you very small. Lady,
oh, of course.
Makes you very small.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
I think I'm being oppressed by feminists. Yes, exactly. Look at the Middle East. They're bloody strong patriarchies over there. You know?
Are you saying that they're strong, like, in a good way?
No, I'm thinking they're just strong. They're very powerful patriarchies. So, I mean, every woman in Saudi Arabia is head to toe. That's powerful. I don't like it. I think that's terrible. I think women should have self-determination. I think you should have the right to vote, live where you want, marry who you like, do what you want. And you do. Who stops you?
Be respected if you look sexy.
No, not at all.
Sargon, you're arguing with a woman who wants to live in a burqa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you go along with the idea that patriarchy is feminism, and I would argue that it is, in a way, then, yeah, the Middle East has a strong patriarchy. Because those women want to live that way, and they enforce that living, that way of living, with other women.
Yeah, and the thing is that when you say that women enforce that way of living, they do, because they raise their kids in it. there are individual women who do not want to live that way. But when you're talking about women as a group, women as a group have a huge influence over the societies that they're part of, because they raise their children to have the social habits that form the foundations of those societies. So if you're going to talk about women as a group, you cannot deny the power of women as a group. Now, once again, if you're a woman who is going against the predominant narrative of control that women have created in many cases, you will find that you experience a lot of negative shit. I have found that as a woman who's gone against the grain in our society. So you have to separate out the fact that society will persecute women who go against the grain of all of the women's choices, all of the women's choices to do particular social habits in their children, which then become the foundation for their societies. I mean, it's both things are true. It is true that women as a group have incredible power over society. And it's also true that individual women can end up being persecuted by that power because they are refusing to play the game the way the other women want them to play it. And that happens everywhere. It happens in Saudi Arabia. It happens in our culture. And that does not mean that women have no power. Okay. Right.
Okay. Continuing on.
Hang on.
I don't think that women who like dress in a particularly revealing way are very well respected. I think they're generally quite disrespected. Like these ladies here are very respectable and they're not dressed.
You think that's better?
Well, what do you mean?
If somebody dresses revealingly, they're suddenly like less worthy of respect.
God. Can I just please stop shuffling like that? Stand up straight. Look like an adult, lady. You're presumably of legal age for something, right?
She's grasping at this point, Allison.
She's grasping.
Everything is crumbling, including her ability to stand up straight.
It's not even the standing. Well, yeah, she's sort of got the wet noodle thing, but then so does Karen. But at least Karen doesn't do the shuffling. Like Karen's like she's anchored, you know?
Yeah.
She stands and she's there, and she doesn't start shuffling around like a kid being called to the principal. I mean, even if you're wrong, lady, stand up for being wrong.
It's hard to stand still when you're a leaf on the wind. She's struggling not to get blown away by.
This is why I like Big Red so much more. I mean, she at least would stand by being wrong.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I miss her, actually.
I know. Where did she go? I don't know.
I miss her. I'm gonna find Chancy Binks and try to get her on. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, we've actually tried to find her to invite her to the International Conference on Men's Issues.
Yeah, I know. It'd be great.
We have no idea how to find her. And because she's got a bit of a fan club, you know.
Yes. And if we ever like imagine a world where Chancy Binks got red-pilled and flipped completely. Because she was still new to feminism when she did all that stuff back then. That means that she's supple for the change, for the shift. Maybe supple's not the word I should have used. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to put that in your head.
Probably sexual there, Brian.
Yeah, a little bit.
She literally stood by what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not convincing me.
We can call her Big Red Pill.
Big Red Pill, yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Disrespect them.
Really?
Yes.
I would call that ingrained misogyny.
Yeah, because you're a feminist.
He said that women are the ones that most often judge and disrespect other women. That's what that was just then.
And she's calling it ingrained misogyny. Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, Big Red was a feminist protester who used to went to a Toronto men's rights event or an Ottawa men's rights event. Mm-hmm. And just she sat on the corner she stood on the corner and she sort of owned it. Like nobody could speak. And she definitely stood for what she believed.
Yep. Yep.
If she believed it.
If you don't know who Big Red is, I don't know what you're doing here, but just Google feminist. I'm pretty sure she's the first picture on Google Images.
Feminist Big Red.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Brian says, maybe she's still supple.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It makes me want to cry a river. Okay, so let us move on.
Yes.
I would call that ingrained misogyny.
Yeah, I know you would, because you're a feminist cultist. I think other women have a right to have an opinion on these things. I think the key thing...
This is the proudest day of my life, yeah, honestly. I've never been called a feminist cultist before. He said I was cackling earlier, like a witch.
You were. You literally were. But the thing is, I really am curious about this, because it seems that you deny the idea of female power, and I think that's really dangerous, because I think women are very powerful, and I think they need to check their privileges sometimes. And I think you're an example of that.
Whoa! Oh my God, Sargon, that was savage. Oh my God, the fact that he actually called the woman doing the assist, or her victim stand, as someone said, called her out for being rude, and then he says, "Do I have the right to feel afraid?" And then he just, oh my God, that is an excellent technique right there, right out of the threat narrative playbook. Throw it back in her face. Stand by whatever feelings that you have, that you stand by them. I'm sure he stands by the statement that he has the right to feel uncomfortable, or he has the right to feel unsafe because of her threat narrative posturing. I'm sure he stands by his statement that woman was definitely being rude by grabbing his microphone and attempting to control him physically.
Mm-hmm.
By her grasp on his property. And then he comes back with this, which is emphasizing her strength and her power, which is exactly what she does not want. I mean, this must be humiliating for her in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she looks, she's gobsmacked, really. She's just like,
yeah, she looks gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's got
how
the
dare
wow,
you?
Wow, just wow is basically what her face says.
And I can't, in some ways, like when I created the Threat Narrative series, and you guys can find it on my actual channel, which is, I think, Allison Tiemann at this point. And you just look up Allison Tiemann Threat Narratives or something like that. When I created my Threat Narrative series, it was basically to try to explain the behavior of women like this, because I did not understand it. I tend to be a very literal person, and I didn't understand why women would do this. Like if Sargon said to me, "Oh yeah, you're quite powerful as a woman," I'd be like, "Cool. Okay, what can I do to make this power useful to others? That's awesome. Could you tell me, how can I make it work for people? And, maybe also take responsibility for my own life and make it better." She is gobsmacked and horrified at the thought that she has or anybody is recognizing that she has any power. And it's like, what kind of life do you live where you spend your entire time not recognizing that you have any control or power over anything? Like just denying it. Like, is that even a life? Is that like, Ryan, what could you imagine that? Do you think that would be, would you like to live that life?
Oh, no. It's got to be miserable. I think that's why they are miserable.
Yeah,
it's got to be miserable.
It's like when I encounter a difficulty.
No wonder they don't feel free, by the way. No wonder they don't know what they feel like they are not. They're not free in the West. It's because of that. But go ahead.
Whenever I encounter a difficulty in my life, I call it the suck, if you're doing something difficult, you will inevitably plateau or you'll go backwards. And for me, the moment that I stop saying, "Oh, this is out of my control. I can't do anything. I can't. And I either go look on the web and try to find another strategy or figure out something that someone else has done. And I realize, okay, well, let me try this. Let me take this action to affect this outcome. The moment I do that, I feel so much better about my life. Like you know what I mean, right, Brian? When you have that moment, like, okay, I'm facing something difficult, but I can do something to turn this around. That moment when you experience that, it's like fantastic. It's like some people probably even throw themselves in the shit so they can experience those moments when they finally realize that they can turn it around, because it's a great moment. It's like it's being peak human. And she's like never going to experience that ever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of being alive?
Oh, I mean, maybe that's why, again, they're so unhappy. You know, when you brought up your story of the Facebook feminist, it reminded me of the one time I got a Facebook feminist. Can I just share this? Because it's really funny to me anyway. On October 2nd, 2017, I posted on Facebook and I said, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's people who think they can deduce motives, read minds, and know what is in people's hearts, specifically people they dislike. Get that postmodern shit out of here. And that this was 2 years ago, about 2 years ago. And this woman commented, I won't say her name, but because I don't know her, complete stranger, just commented on my thing. And she said, deemed the platypus is deemed a mammal because humans categorize rigidly, but a platypus lays eggs. So reality is always more complicated than we are able to allow. Just because someone deems something does not make it so. The salient point is that there are 7.5 billion people on this earth and we are breeding our demise. Our overproduction of humans is responsible for the death of resources available for survival, which is why refugees are emigrating, why climate change is wreaking havoc, why our world is in the state of crisis. You are a dweeb to blame feminists, also known as woke women, for the fact that we want to control our own damn bodies. You're a nutcase who is far from good. You're clearly a biased imbecile who probably can't get it up, so you must threaten others on Facebook. I haven't threatened anyone. It's weird. Go take your chair elsewhere. We know it's all pomp and circumstance. Hashtag women are not your breeders. And then includes a screenshot of a post that I made earlier than that, October 14, 2015. This is when I was going to college. My post read, the science on when a fetus becomes a human being is still up for grabs, which it is. If it turns out that the fetus is deemed a human life at the 3-week stage, like some scientists suspect, feminism has killed a lot of people. Keep that in mind. And I was just basically putting it out there because I had just learned this stuff myself. But it was just a weird, out of nowhere, this woman comes out and blames me for overpopulation, climate change, controlling women. It was just weird and funny. But the platypus thing was also just, what? But, who knows? Anyway, I just wanted to share that. So, Allison, you ready for the next clip?
Yep.
Okay.
We're currently run by Theresa May is the current Prime Minister of Britain. Nicola Sturgeon is the current First Minister of Scotland. And the head of the Welsh Assembly is also a woman, but I can't remember what her name is off the top of my head. And then Angela Merkel, people like this. All childless women. The world is being run by childless women. And is it going well? Do you think it's going well under the patriarchy? Run by women.
The patriarchy run by women.
I think her brain turned off.
Yeah.
The moment this is a moment like she's not able to, how do you rejoin to that? You have power. Well, everything up to this point has been her attempting to dominate the discourse by affecting powerlessness. I basically creating a threat narrative. She is the victim. Therefore she has the moral high ground. Therefore she is the one who determines what is and is not acceptable. And he completely turned it around on her. First, he pointed out her assist being rude. And then he pointed out, like, do I have the right to feel afraid? And she had no answer to that. And then finally, he just like goes for the complete knockout with, yeah, you have tremendous power as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I want women to check their privilege and be responsible for it. My God, Sargon.
It's good, right?
It's very good. Like this is, I'm going to take a little bit of credit. I don't know if he has said that he watches my videos or at least mm-hmm. one years mm-hmm. ago. But this is like right out of my playbook of how you defeat a threat narrative. You have to diffuse their high ground and you shouldn't affect victimhood necessarily. That never really works for men. But what does work is if you stand by the expectation that you have the right to have feelings and vulnerabilities, and that you have the right to have feelings and vulnerabilities and respond to women's behavior in negative ways, and that they should respect that, and that you, or even that you don't care if they respect that or not. You are still going to stand by what you feel, and mm-hmm. you are still going to express it. And you're not going to deny it just because it's uncomfortable for her to hear it. Or that she just doesn't feel, she feels it's uppity to have to deal with a man's reaction to her behavior. And he did that. And then he also, as a coup de grace, I think that's how you pronounce it, he emphasized her power. And you guys, if you don't, this is, like I said, this is right out of my threat narrative series. And this is perfectly executed. Bravo, Sargon. I would have to say that is a complete knockout. I mean, does she rejoin at all? Does she have anything after that?
Well, we got a few seconds left. Yeah, we only got a little bit left in this video, but I did get a super chat from B Rex, who gives us $2 Canadian and puts in what appear to be kitty faces. So okay. Yeah, there you
kiss,
go.
Thank, kiss well, your kitties for us.
Well, B-Rex, well, that was a kitty. Well argued point, and I concur with that. Okay. So
kitty
let us
faces
continue.
Are always excellent arguments.
Yeah.
Women.
I would deeply argue that it is run by women. I think that's a massive overstatement.
They are
I
literally
think in government
charge.
It's something like, is it even approaching a third of women in
it's
government?
It's over a third. But is the, it over the, a third? The women are
half?
Actually in charge. So the women are telling the men what to do. Is it going well?
Just pausing it there again. She even
Did
thought
she
when,
or something?
When no, she went to go pick up her phone. So women are actually running things, and she's still saying, "Yeah, I don't think that counts because there's not
because
enough."
Because I
want to
maintain victim.
Yeah, I can't.
That's how I see my life.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I have to make peace with the idea that what you're saying is true, then that means I actually have to look in the mirror and figure out what the fuck I'm doing or not doing. And what's wrong with
challenge.
Me?
I have to challenge who I am and
yeah.
how I think I get my needs met. That's the real big thing. Yeah. I mean, literally, this woman thinks she gets her needs met by playing the victim and men swoop in and do something for her. And I don't think she's ever thought, well, maybe yeah. I could do it for myself.
Well, you know, and that's another thing in that that I was thinking about, too. It seems that feminists, they want, and I mean, maybe women on the whole to some degree, when there are women in power or women that are famous or women that are doing things in the world or women that are represented in media that reflects fictional characters from video games, movies and comics, when the theory is that seeing them will tell women as a group that they're doing better because they see women in these positions. But if you strip that down and you tell them that, yes, there are women in all these positions, and so therefore your narrative, you know, is that they're oppressed and that they can't do it or whatever is all falling away, then those women that have been essentially using women in power, women in media, etc., as sort of a proxy for their own success, they can't use it anymore because they can't say that is, you know, an area in which they struggle. That's why no matter how much representation there is, feminists say it's not enough representation because not enough women feel empowered by it, or that because that's like the excuse they would use. Right. So that means that if you take all that away, like you tell, they told this woman, well, we got Theresa May, we got Angela Merkel, we got, you know, all these women in powerful positions in government. And they're telling men what to do, and there are men doing as they ask, and how is that going? Now this woman is thinking, well, those women used to represent us as a gender, and now they're just individuals. So that means, what have I done? You know, like men don't do that. Like, no, men don't look at Trump and say, oh, that guy's doing stuff in the name of men. And they don't do that with Justin Trudeau, and they don't do that with, Macron or whatever. They can't do that because we don't have that structure where it's like, guys, be proud because we have men in positions of government. We have men that run tech companies, and we have men that own, you know, corporations. Men don't identify that way. They only know what they can do as individuals because that's how they're gauged, right? So this young lady, if she actually has to make peace with this idea, she has to look in the mirror, as you said, and examine herself. But this also means that all of the stuff that she's attributing to other people, because of their gender, she can't. Because now she can only do what, well, now it's all on me, as it should be, really. So, I don't know. It's just something else to think about.
It's an existential crisis. So she does she find her phone and actually do anything?
Let's keep going.
So you're saying that women should be... what you're saying, like the men should be in charge and it would be going better.
I don't think so. There are lots of male politicians who are terrible. I don't think exactly. I don't think either gender has a monopoly on bad politicians. But I also don't think that just because someone's a woman doesn't mean they're going to be a good politician. Theresa May, example A, right?
Well, yeah, I would deeply agree with that statement.
Same here.
I don't think that being a woman makes you automatically good at anything. I also don't think that being a man makes you automatically good at anything.
I totally agree. I think you're completely correct.
Nobody ever believed that. What they believed is that if you have a gender identity in which you have to achieve in order to be regarded as having any value, you're more likely to actually achieve and become skillful. That's what they mean by seeing men as having a greater skill or ability or motivation. You know, and I mean, there's some biological stuff to that as well, but it doesn't have anything to do with this idea that men, by virtue of having a penis, are competent, because nobody in the history of humanity has believed that so. It's but men, by virtue of being expected to perform and achieve competence.
Yep.
And expected to perform and achieve in a way that women are not. Like I've said repeatedly, man is a suffix. The word man is a suffix in search of a prefix, some action, some utility to possess in order to have value. And you can deny the truth of that social pressure all you like, but it exists and it does not exist on women. Therefore, there is fundamentally greater pressure on men to become useful, to become competent, to achieve. And so they do. Yep. And recognizing that is not misogyny. It is just recognizing a fundamental truth about human psychology. If you pay for male-bodied individuals, if you tell them you have no identity except what you achieve, then they will achieve, because you are making that achievement. You're giving them a greater incentive, a greater motive, and you are paying more for that achievement relative to the achievement of women. I mean, women, basically, their greatest achievement is what? Being women? Can you achieve more than being a woman? And certainly feminism is just nailing this concept down, just hammering it down, that women's greatest achievement is being a woman, by constantly creating this attitude of women are wonderful, that the greatest thing that any individual woman could ever be is a woman, according to feminism.
Yep.
So, well, where can you go from there? Where can you go from there? The only way you can have any kind of motion or movement in your life is to do exactly what this woman does and say, this person doesn't value my womanness enough. He doesn't. He has victimized my womanness. And then you feel like you have some kind of control over the world, because then they go beat him up or socially ostracize him. And all because feminism insists the most important thing a woman will ever be is a woman. Hoy. Okay. Yep.
All right. Last clip.
I agree. I think you're completely correct.
They're great at looking after babies. You heard it from him.
So there's somebody in the audience says women are great at looking after babies. And she, because she couldn't get Sargon or anything, she used person in the audience. Yeah, to basically say, he made my point for me. And then she hands him the microphone. But Sargon has the last word.
Well, hey, listen, as a father, I just want to say men are also great at looking after babies. Why can't we talk?
Well, he really sucked that out there.
Yeah.
Because he actually turned it into something that was that could be construed as negative towards men. The idea that men are not good at looking after babies.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as a father, I presume that Sargon is actually proud of being able to look after babies.
Yeah, in particular, his, you know.
Yeah,
baby.
Exactly. And so. you know, and he's not a babysitter; he's a dad. So there mm-hmm. you go. Okay, I'm ready. You know, Brian, I think we've done an hour and a half. We got a few super chats.
Yeah, well, I've read through all the super chats. We got it all done. So I guess, you know, do you want to take us out at all?
Yeah, sure. If you enjoy this content, please do consider supporting us at feedthebadger.com. That is feedthebadger.com. We do need your help in order to continue to put this content on. It is actually really critical for people to subscribe to us. And as a result of your subscription, you will get access to our Discord, a patron Discord, which is a very lively space, lots of social events. And if you subscribe for $30 a month or more, which is what, 3 Big Mac meals a month, you know, your heart will thank you if you give that money to us instead of McDonald's. Or wait, your heart will thank you and your soul will thank you if you give that money to us mm-hmm. instead of Burger King.
Yes, instead of Burger King. Because
instead of Burger King,
don't buy that yes meal or I don't give a fuck meal, and definitely don't buy any milkshakes. But Burger you King. Could throw us a couple of those bucks. And
for those who don't understand the reference, Burger King, when Sargon started getting milkshakes thrown at him, and which is a form of assault, and it's working up to more violent forms of assault as well. That kind of disrespect is working up to more violent forms of assault. Burger King decided to tweet, we have milkshakes or something all day, sale on milkshakes all day, in reference mm-hmm. to what was happening to Sargon. So don't, instead of buying however many meals that you could get at Burger King for that $30, give it to us. And then you can join us in our after shows and you can listen to me and Brian yep. get even less professional.
yeah. Although it can get pretty spicy in the after show sometimes. So it's definitely worth it. All right. So I guess
it's very supple.
Yeah. So feed the badger. Supple. Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, I've never been there for one, but I know that sometimes they do get supple. All right. So anyway, be sure to hit the like button. Also, subscribe to the channel if you're not already. I saw that we got a subscription while we were going. Thank you so much for joining the space lepers. But don't be sure to, you know, try to spread that disease amongst your own friends and get them to check out this content. Hit the like button. Also, subscribe. Yep. Hit
spread
the bell.
The space leprosy love. Yep. Spread it.
Spread the space leprosy. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. Hit the bell for notifications and leave us a comment related to this discussion. How do you think Sargon did? Now, you know, if there's something that maybe you want to point out that we didn't, an additional suggestion or tactic, I'd like to see it. So leave us a comment related to that. And lastly, I'll just say, Sargon, well done. It's definitely not like it was that one time you debated Pixie Jenny on Gamergate. You've definitely grown since then. So that is great stuff. Thank you so much for coming on the HBR debate. And we'll talk to you guys in the next one.